Blog Talk Radio.
The National Speakers Association National Convention just ended this past Tuesday, in Washington, D.C., and many who attended are fired up and ready to take their businesses to the next level of success. Other conventions and conferences have been held this summer, and thousands are faced with the task of deciphering their notes, organizing business cards, sorting out countless pictures and video clips, and determining the best way to use these resources to their advantage. Today, we'll talk with certified speaking professional Marquesa Petway to learn how she has taken her NSA experiences and treasures and transformed them into new ways to earn revenue and new business opportunities. Based in New York, Marquesa was a pivotal player at the NSA convention and co-leads Black NSA, a recognized specialized group for speakers of color. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Excuse me, just a little cough in my throat, but I'm glad to be here on this sunny July day. I'm just soaking in all the sun and all of the sunshine because I know in 6 months here in Boston, it's going to look a lot different. It's going to be a lot colder, so I am not complaining. We have a lot of activities going on this summer. One of them is a great free one-hour webinar that we're going to have next Tuesday, July 28th, featuring the author of a new book called Soul Food. He is an attorney, an author, and a certified barbecue judge, and his name is Adrian Miller. I heard him last month here in Boston, and it was an absolutely fascinating presentation, tracing the origins of fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, sweet potatoes, collard greens, hot sauce, all the good things that African Americans in the Black community eat as staples. He goes all the way back to West Africa. He traces European roots and how they ended up in the Americas in his new book called Soul Food. So again, this is a free webinar from 12 noon until 1 p.m. Eastern, different times obviously depending on where you live. If you can't catch it, you'll have to be a member of the Multicultural Symposium Series, because this will be archived in the members-only section of that part of our website. But if you go to tellcarole.com, T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E, you can go and click on the icon. You'll actually see his face and some food that he's eating and the red Kool-Aid that he is drinking out of a jar, and you can click through and register. And again, we'd love to have you. I've got several people who have already registered. It's going to be a great webinar, 1 hour. Get your food. You can enjoy and listen to this presentation. When he delivered the presentation last month at my church, they actually had soul food that they had catered. So we had lots of outside people who came. It was packed, and it was a delightful presentation. So you may have some aha moments about some of the foods that we just eat and take for granted in the Black community, and you'll have a chance to learn. You'll also learn the difference between, if there is a difference, between soul food and Southern cuisine. That's a little teaser, and we'll share that information and the answer to that on Tuesday, July 28th at 12 noon Eastern. This is Adrian Miller and his new book called Soul Food. Also at my website, at tellcarole.com. You can also find out more about our trip to India that we're taking in February of 2016. Go to the homepage. You can click through. You'll be able to find out all the information. The pricing is there. It's a great price, almost like an all-inclusive package. And you can begin monthly payments between now and January This will be my third trip to India. The second time I've led a group, we had almost 40 people with our group in February. It is an amazing, amazing experience, and we'd love for you to join us. You can go to tellcarol.com and learn more about it, or the other website is embracingindia.com, embracingindia.com, and find out all about it. I want to introduce my guest, who is a friend, a colleague. I am actually on Blog Talk Radio today because she said, you ought to find out about Blog Talk Radio, some 5 years ago. I had not heard of it. I was transitioning from terrestrial radio. I had been on just plain old regular radio stations here in the greater Boston area since 1999 and wanted to do something a little different, and here I am on Blog Talk, and I always like to thank her because I'm here because she told me about it. She is a tech guru. She received her certified speaking professional designation from the National Speakers Association last year, and she's a real powerhouse and a firebrand within NSA, New York, and elsewhere. Marquesa Petway, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carol. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so glad to have you back on the show. Well, let's see, this is probably your fifth, sixth, or seventh, or eighth, or ninth NSA conference. What was the experience for you like this week and last week? Our conference ended on Tuesday. So tell me, what was the exhilaration and the feeling for you coming home to New York?
Well, first, this is my eighth national conference, and I don't know, 50th or 60th NSA conference overall, but I'm still on cloud nine. I mean, I literally just posted probably right before this call on my Facebook page about how I'm on cloud nine because I look forward to this week every year. The national is like no other. This is an opportunity for folks that are passionate about the same thing, which is getting their message out there and changing the world. And that's what we do. And when we all get together, we talk about best practices and strategies so that we can do it in a bigger way, you know, take that business to the next level. And it's interesting, Carol, because this conference was a little different for me because I've been to so many. You know how you grow year after year?
Right.
Now, this year, it's almost as if I was a little bit in the background. I mean, I'm on quite a few committees. I'm on a national committee that plays a key role with choosing, you know, different speakers at the conferences and making sure that the workshops are top-notch. But this year, I got to participate on a whole nother level. I got a chance to be one of the roving reporters, also co-host for the live stream. So for folks that couldn't make it, there was no excuse. The live stream in there. And that was fun. And it was it reminded me of what brought me to speaking in the first place. Now, what made me decide that I could get in front of an audience and share a message? And, you know, it was fun to share those sound bites and those memories and just encourage folks out there that are probably even listening to this broadcast, you know, that are thinking, could professional speaking be a part of my destination? And if so, how do I make that happen? And what? And there's a lot of answers I can give on that. But one easy answer is you need to make sure that you hang around people that you either want to be like or you have similar goals to, and that would include NSA, and I have certainly done that. Yes,
definitely. You know, you've made some great points, and I think one of the things for me, this is about my 15th conference. I've been in NSA for 20 years and had various leadership roles, including now the farewell of the diversity peg, the professional emphasis group, because those groups are going to morph into something else probably next year or so. They've been around for almost 20 years, so it was fun being a part of that. But for me, I realized that because of the competitive nature of our business and the way that this business is just changing, my gosh, 20 years ago, we didn't have websites. You know, we were almost working on Selectric typewriters practically, really. I mean, not that far back. But, I mean, things technologically were so different from where we are today. I realized that I needed and I need to stay plugged in to NSA because of the competitive changing marketplace where if you're out there, you're in business by yourself. We understand that. But
yep.
when you're not connected to your industry organization, it can be a little harder for you in terms of the connections because you're navigating the road path by yourself. No matter how successful you are, I find that being a part of the National Speakers Association helps you to stay connected and more confident in what you're dealing with just because you're part of this association. I just had something to deal with one of my clients literally over the last 2 days, and the information that I've learned from the convention helped me to phrase the strategies that I needed to use with this client going forward. So that's a big tip. So let me start off by asking you, you are resting today, and I actually asked you to be on the show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it just to get your bearings once you come home instead of just going right into the fire pan, the fireplace, and the frying pan when you leave your convention or your conference?
It's such a big deal. I actually wrote a blog post on this not too long ago, and I'm going to share some tips from there. It is so important because, as you said earlier before, you know, as entrepreneurs, we are isolated. And oftentimes, service-based entrepreneurs tend to be in the business that other folks outside of being entrepreneurs don't really understand, even our own family. So we need a place to go that where folks understand us and get us. I mean, think about it. When you work at a corporation, there's somebody there that handles marketing and sales and payroll and all these different responsibilities. But when you're an entrepreneur, you handle them all, and you have
everything.
Ups and downs, and oh my goodness, you can stress out every day. But so it feels good to go somewhere and hang out with folks that get it. And it's such a shortcut on how to do things when I can just stand in the hallway with a colleague and a colleague says, you know what, I use this service to help me accomplish this. Or,
right.
Hey, what's that lead pages you use and why do you use it? Does it really work? Hey, I noticed your website. Who designed it for you? Or, wow, I saw you on that talk show the other day. How did you get that? So it feels good to have these conversations and people look out for you. And you mentioned competitive, and to a certain degree it can be, but it gets a heck of a lot less competitive when these folks become your friends. Because then
right.
when they're your friends, they're sort of looking out for you because we each have our own expertise. And so when folks think of business reinvention or helping entrepreneurs speak their message, they may think of Marquesa. You know, when they think of branding, they may think of Lethea. When they think of multiculturalism, they think of Carol. So it's good because when you're around and people get used to you and you build that rapport and that credibility, they like, know, and trust you, and then they can refer you to their clients. So then fast forward, one of the things, I mean, Carol, I have a whole plan. There's a pre, there's a during, and there's a post plan that I have for every single conference I attend. So part of the post plan is let your body rest because you're running around for like 5 days. And I don't know about you, but before I go, I barely sleep because I'm trying to pack. Do I have my heels, my shoes? It's a lot of responsibility being a female. So you're trying to pack all 100 of your outfits and everything. So then when you leave, I'm just in that focused mind of doing 1.5 million things. So I'm really charged from sun up to sundown. I mean, my roommate was making fun of me. She's like, oh, my gosh, where does your energy come from? You didn't go to bed till 3, but then you got back up at 6. And I'm like, because I have to. This is where I prepare for this the whole year. So as part of my preparation, I let my clients know, hey, guys, I'm going to be back bright and shiny the Monday morning following the conference because that way I'm all in. I'm not dragging. I'm with you. And then we're going to pick up where we left off. But I'm using today to just rest my body, you know, don't tell anybody, catch up on some of our reality TV that I TiVo'd. You know? So I'm just using today to just chill out and breathe and smile and take it all in. Then tomorrow, which is Friday, that's when I go to my list and I say, all right, these are the folks I got to follow up with. And there's people already on my calendar for Friday that I met at the conference, and, you know, I gave them specific instructions. Go to this site and book time with me. And so then they went to the site and booked time. So I already have about 4 appointments for Friday. So I've got to sort of get ready for those. Then Friday is also Friday, and the weekend is a good time to say, all right, I had the conversation with this person, so I got to move it along. Okay, I'm also a columnist for Speaker Magazine, so that's going to be due at the end of this month. And my reality TV column, yeah, that's a side thing, syndicated. It's you know, I have to do that tomorrow. So there's a lot of little things that I have to do, but I laid it all out in advance just so that I can stay organized. Because unfortunately, Carol, one of the biggest problems, and I was in this boat too, that comes out of attending these conferences, we invest a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of energy, is that we don't follow up. Right. And whether we like it or not, the fortune is in the follow up. So if you just go and say, yeah, 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 and I'm going to do this, you know, do anything, you just wasted your money. You know, you got to implement the strategies. You've got to do the homework. You've got to follow up. You got to take it to the next step. So right. I am determined to do that, but I have to have my full body with me to do it. So that's what the next few days are all about, is following up, dropping notes. Some of that is happening, you know, just with the ride on the way back to New York City. But it continues on for a few days.
Right. Well, you've made some great points. The before, the implementation of all that before, during the conference, and the after, and rest is a big part of it, so that you can be fully engaged and fully on going forward. I want to suggest a couple of things to those who have, maybe you have conferences coming up, or this is something you can think about next year. Number one is that I learned a long time ago, I did better keeping all of my notes in a composition notebook. Instead of having papers for this or whatever, the souvenir journal with the conference was a nice spiral binder, and it's got folders in it, pocket folders, so that really is good for a lot of the loose papers. But the notes that I took, and I took a lot of notes, I put in just a regular dollar composition folder notebook, so that I can pick it up and take it with me, or I can, nothing gets lost, so I now have everything all together. So I want to suggest that to those of you who are going to conferences. Another thing is, and Marquesa, you're really good at this. I did this also. We blogged during the conference, and I would encourage people to make it easy on yourself by blogging during the conference on your Facebook page or Twitter or whatever account you have, LinkedIn, so that people can keep up with what you're doing instead of saving all that until when you get back home, which in most cases it's impossible just to have a real comprehensive report and do it in a manner that just catches all the energy. Case in point, had a great speaker, a survivor of Rwanda, Immaculee was her first name. She was a spellbinding speaker. So I snapped pictures while she was talking, and then I posted those pictures on Facebook while the message was still taking place. And I did that because I wanted to capture the essence of that in the moment, but also I knew that there were going to be other speakers after her and other activities. So you don't have to worry about, oh, I forgot to mention about Immaculee and the fabulous speech that she gave. So there's some things you can do while your convention is going on to make it easier on you. Another thing that I do is that I return phone calls while I'm on the road. I don't save them up. Again, you and I both, Marquesa, we're in the kind of live business, 24/7 business. So when a client calls or a potential client calls, they're not necessarily going to wait until you get back home if you don't have staff. I don't have staff, so I have to make those phone calls while I'm on the road. So there are things like that that you can do to make your life easier and make your job of being a professional much easier once you get back home.
That is true. I do have a nice book called Conference Notes, actually, that I think I bought at Staples. It just says notes, I think. And I put all my conference notes in them, even previous conferences, because I tend to go to a conference or even a live event locally here in New York, you know, every 2 to 3 months. And it's a great way for me to say, oh, yeah, you know, let me see how far I've gotten with that strategy. It also helps me focus because when you're a newbie, I know some folks are listening to this that are newbies when it comes to going to these conferences, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed and want to learn everything. And one of the things I keep in mind is, hey, I can always get the conference audios and live cast post-conference. What I want to focus on are the relationships, things that I can't get recorded. I also want to attend the sessions that I need help with now. Like, for example, if, you know, I'm in the middle of writing a book. Well, that's a big deal for me. So I went to a publishing, workshop all from a publisher that talked about the process and the proposal and everything you got to do with the book. So go to what you need at that moment and not, oh, my goodness, get stars in your eyes and go somewhere that you really won't have anything to do with for at least 6 months. So that plays a role. And then I put everything into a notebook. I have to mention Sylvia Henderson. You know her, Carol. She's part of Black in SA. And you guys may want to look up Sylvia Henderson of Springboard Training on LinkedIn. Sylvia created this notebook, and I think it even has audios to it. It's called the Conference Implementation Notebook. And I am asking her, I said, you've got to put this in front of Black NSA and everywhere because it's so freaking good. It's like a binder, and it has everything for pre, during, and post. But what I love about it is even if you don't get it until post, Carol, it has these little sheets that say, all right, who did you meet? What was one thing you got from there? You know, what's the end goal? Is this going to be a JV partner? Is this going to be a client? Is this going to be a mentor? Whatever it is that you want. And she lays it all out verbatim. It's even a place to put the business cards. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get so many cards and I'm thinking, well, okay, once I put them into my computer, what do I do with them? Part of me, I don't want to throw them away, but then they become clutter, you know. So now you can just lay them all out because I make sure I get them into my Infusionsoft system. And once they're there, I can get away with move them somewhere. But now you can put them in this binder and then just sort of put your notes around them. So anyway, it's just one place to contain everything, not just your contacts that you made, but the actions you took and your next step. So, again, I don't know of a website where she highlights that, but, you know, just check her out and tell her Marquesa sent you.
Sylvia Henderson.
I love this. It's fun.
I use a binder version for my business cards, and, again, it just works like a charm so that you can keep them all in one place. It seems like Sylvia has gone to the next level, and that's the beauty of going to conventions and conferences where you can connect with people who really have innovative materials that can really help your business. Quickly, I wanted to go back and go to last year's conference, 2014, and even 2013's conference, where you decided when they announced changes with the certification process, which is the certified speaking professional, they made changes 2 years ago, and you said, I'm in, I'm going to do this, and you set a goal for yourself, and you reached your goal last year. Tell us about that process. This would be helpful for those who have goals business-wise, they want to do certain things, but they have a year to actually get it done. Marquesa Petway, tell us about it.
Sure. It's called the Certified Speaking Professional, and it's the highest designation for professional speakers. And this designation is so important because not only do your colleagues now view you as a serious player in the industry, somebody that's not just talking about being a professional speaking, but they've proven it, you know, with their financial records and with their client evaluations and buying, and part of the process is also a video that your colleagues must review. Well, I remember I've been a member of NSA. This is my 10th year, and I've always wanted to earn the CSP. But, you know, I'm not a person that's really great with paperwork. I'm more left brain than right brain. You know, and I have people on my team that can do it, but I still have to get the process going. So it was always, I always said I would do it. but I never really, you know, just bowed, you know, just sat down and did it. Well, guess what? We have all different business models in the speaking business. And last year, I think it was, like you said, 2013, at the NSA conference, they rolled out a new process to earn your CSP. And the cool part is you could still go with the old process or you could go with the new process. And what I loved about the new process is not only did your speaking engagements, the regular, normal, day-to-day speaking engagements that we all have count as part of the process, but if you had your own events, like I've done, oh my goodness, Carol, in 1 year, I did 4 live events, and these live events would be 3 days. And, I mean, it takes a lot of work to do live events, and I'm speaking all day. I got my clients there. I mean, one live event, I can make 6 figures. So that kind of stuff before didn't necessarily count. But now that stuff counts, and it should, because you make a lot of money doing that. So live events would count. I also do a lot of virtual events, you know, just like we're talking on the phone now. Usually I'm on a webinar. People pay for that. So all of these different things counted because NSA realized the industry is changing. Speaking is changing. It's not old school anymore. In order to keep up and stay relevant and stay on top of mind of meeting planners, speakers must share their information in various ways. And I was one of those doing it. So when I went there with a few of my buddies and I'm sitting in this CSP, what to do to get your CSP meeting, I turned around to a few people and I said, guys, I'm going to do it. You're with me?
I was
you know,
in that room. I was in that room. I remember
I
that.
I know. I remember. And then I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So then I left there, Carol. And then the first thing I did is I said, well, what's going to stand in my way for me not doing this? I'm not great with details. I've never met an Excel sheet I liked. So I need to get some help. So I immediately went to Elance.com and looked for someone who was strong where I was weak. You know, someone I could export all my records to, and they make it all pretty. You know,
right.
Then I got in touch with National, that contact there, and I made sure I understood everything. And then, I mean, it took a whole year to get all of that stuff together because you could go back as far as 10 years. And remember, I was with the seminar companies, which means that I had 15 to 20 engagements in a month. So I had to go back and get all that information. I had to call up all my clients. And as a side note, all the work that you have to do to get this is sort of advantageous because it gets you organized and you get back in touch with clients you haven't spoken with in years. And so then they remember you and you get hired all over again. So it's a win-win. And then it looks good in some of the clients and all of your clients' eyes that you're going for the highest designation in your industry. It tells your client she is serious, you know,
right.
And I'm glad that we're associated with her. So anyway, you go through all of that. And I remember being so nervous and turning in things and then they'll let you know, hey, Marquesa, I need a few more names. I need a few, you know, I need this, I need that, because then your clients must be ready to do those evaluations. So the process is so detailed. And it's almost, I don't know what to kind of, I don't know, compare it to, but it's intense, and you're nervous all the time, and you don't really find out anything until 3 weeks before the conference. And guess what, Carol? I'm a little sneaky because I didn't tell anybody. I mean, I just kept it me. I don't know why. Maybe I was so nervous. I just didn't want to psych myself out and tell everyone.
Yep.
I kept
yep.
it to myself, and I'm literally
oh,
up here, and everybody will find out later. And I kept it to myself, and I didn't tell one person until I submitted everything. So you have to submit everything, I think, by January of the following year, because, you know, the conference is normally in the summer because we just had it last week. So then you have until January. For those of you listening to this, there's a date in January. I don't know what it is. You have until then to submit, and then you don't find out anything till almost 6 months later. You know, so it's crazy.
The point is that you used the 2013 workshop that you attended as a springboard to obviously get your business in order, but to really set a goal that was not realized until a year later. And that's the beauty of conferences, is that conferences can be used for that purpose. So it's just a matter of the amount of intensity and work that you want to put into it, the amount of effort that you put into the actual conference. You've talked about You've talked about resting afterward, and then at the plan where your follow-up becomes first and primary in your business. Now, Marquesa, this segment is going to end. I'm going to bring you back at another time so we can continue to talk about this and probably do a show midstream so that when the energy is down, what do you do to pick yourself up and remember how good that conference was that you had attended, let's say, 3 or 4 months before. Marquesa, real quickly, give us your website because we're going to go off the air in just a second. Give us your website.
Sure. It's GottaSpeakNow.com. That's G-O-T-T-A, SpeakNow.com. And I have something special, How I Made Six Figures Speaking for Free. You can do that as well. So it's right there at GottaSpeakNow.com.
Awesome. Marquesa Pedway, thank you so much for being a guest on my program. I hope this has been helpful for those listening who maybe you just don't know where you need to begin or pick up the information. I know we have people in the chat room where they're really glad that they're listening to the show today. Thank you so much. Hopefully this will help you, and we hope that whatever your business or opportunity happens to be, that you'll make it better because of the conferences and the symposiums and the conventions that you attend both this summer and beyond. Have a great day. Carol Copeland-Thomas, we'll talk to you the next time. Take care.